with us. We're in the book of Matthew. We started in the book of Genesis, and we've been going chapter by chapter, book by book, verse by verse. If you brought your Bible, please open up to Matthew chapter 10. If you didn't bring one, look around for somebody who has one and push next to them. You can share a Bible. Let's pray one more time. And Father, we again ask of your blessing this evening as Lord, we go through your word. We ask that you speak to us. Jesus, may this word come alive in our lives. May we not just leave it here in this building, but may we go out there and apply them by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So last week we left off Christ performing lots of miracles. He demonstrated his power over disease, over sickness, even over death. He brought a dead girl back to life. And at the end of, you know, his healing trip, he turned and looked at the people who had followed him for days. And he had compassion on them. The end of chapter 9 records. And he looked at them and they appeared to him like sheep without a shepherd. They were out there in danger. Nobody's taking care of them. Remember, the Pharisees were just fleecing them, just cheating them, just deceiving them, not telling them exactly what God wanted them to do, not teaching the people. And he turned to his disciples and he told them, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And we left off saying that we are the answer to that prayer. And in chapter 10, of course, I'm sure that these men and these few followers of Christ must have been praying, Lord, send laborers, raise laborers. And in chapter 10, Jesus is telling them, you are those laborers. Thanks for your prayer meetings for God to send laborers. You are those laborers. In the first four verses of chapter 10, we see the 12 listed and sent out. And as we study these 15 verses, it's the sending out of the 12. Sending out of the 12. In the first four verses there, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power of unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sicknesses and all kinds of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, John, his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Lebius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. So the list of 12 is there. Remember, these are men who had other things to do in life. They had plans. They had ambitions. They had really careers to pursue. The world was out for them to conquer. Some of them were out in the sea doing a prosperous, at least a good fishing business. These weren't just idlers sitting there and doing nothing. And Jesus calls them to himself to follow him. And they all left everything they were doing, the tax they were collecting, the fish they were catching, everything. The friends they had, the family, the jobs, and they followed Jesus Christ. And they've come to a point when following Christ involves leaving him and going out and being like him. He's sending these 12 men. These were men from a very diverse background. Some were related to each other. Some were completely strangers to each other. And they are there mentioned in twos, and Christ is going to send them out in twos. Everything else different apart from the fact that they were going to experience power and blessing than ever before. And as we continue down, as we study this passage, Jesus empowers them. Not power to catch more fish in the sea, but power to fish men, to win souls into heaven. Power to bring demons into subjection and cause men to obey Jesus Christ. Now that is real power. That is real power. And like I said, the men, of course, are going to go, as we're going to see, they were the answer to the prayer they had said moments before their sending out. And maybe through the week you've been praying, Lord, raise up more leaders. The church needs more leaders. Your kingdom needs extending. Please, Lord, raise up men and send out men. And you may as well be the answer that you've been praying in the last week. Because 1 Corinthians chapter 12 teaches us that when we came to Jesus Christ, we received gifts. And we're supposed to use those gifts to serve him. And just like these men, very simple men, fishermen, tax collectors, ordinary men, just like you and I, are called to that very noble task. The most important thing we'll ever do is tell people about Jesus Christ. Everything else will remain here. Only the people who will receive Jesus will last forever. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 29, Paul says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many of you, wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised God has chosen, and the things which are not to bring nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence." These weren't professors and, you know, men we read about in the newspapers. They weren't in the front page of the Jewish newspapers every morning. They were ordinary men, and I'm not even saying that Christ doesn't go for professors and studying men. He does. Save everyone, he calls everyone. But if you're thinking of yourself too ordinary, like, I'm just too ordinary, I can't be of any use to Jesus Christ, that's a good qualification. Congratulations. You're apt to be used by God if you're willing to go just as he commands. Because Philippians chapter 2 verse 13 says, "For it is God who works in us both to will and to do for his good pleasure." So here Jesus calls these men, he's sending them out. Verse 5, "For these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So as he sends them out, they have a message to deliver and a power to display. He does not just call them and send them with nothing, empty-handed, empty-hearted, ill-equipped. No. He sends them with a message. That's what the word apostle means, one who is sent out. But with also that message came the power of Jesus Christ to heal, to perform miracles. And that is true for us today. Jesus still empowers those he calls and those he sends to do his will. And it's different. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there are very many diverse gifts by the same Spirit. Differences of ministries by the same Lord. 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. And there are diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So if you've come to Jesus Christ, you're a follower of his, he's given us gifts, graces, literally, abilities that we use for the profit of all, not just for yourself, not just for two people. It's for the whole church to benefit. For those who have the gift of faith, they believe God and God uses them, their gift of faith, others, miracles, healing people, others, prophecy, declaring God's word and encouraging people, others, discerning spirits. There are people who just can discern something is wrong in this person's life or in this person's action or in this circumstance. And they're gifted by the Spirit. Some tongues, speaking in tongues and interpreting those tongues, those are gifts. And Romans, Ephesians also mentions service, administration, help. There are people who just help. They just want to help. What should I do? Help. Clean and organize chairs and serve tea. They're just able to help and they're gifted. And as we study this, I don't want us to look at those men and just go like, wow, that was so nice of God sending them out in power and with a message. We still have the very same message and the very same power at our disposal. If we're only willing to obey Jesus' words of, come to me and then go out. And if you haven't come to Christ, maybe today's your day. Come to him. And then he'll say, okay, now that you have come to me, I'm giving you this power and this message. Go and share it with others. And we know that the 12, except for Judas, who would actually be replaced, were very vital in the founding of the church. And the Bible promises in Revelation 21:14 that their work will be remembered for eternity. The new Jerusalem will have their names in the foundation, 12 of them. It's a privilege that we need to accept and execute. And as they were to go, they were first to go to the house of Israel, as we read in verses 5 to 6. The gospel was first for the Jews. Remember, God called out Abraham, and through him, all the nations would be blessed, starting with the Jews. Jesus was born a Jew. He grew up as a Jewish child, Jewish boy, Jewish teenager, Jewish adult, and a Jewish Messiah, finally. And after the message would reach the Jews, then it would go out to the Gentiles. The Bible says we are grafted in. We are accepted into the kingdom. He told them, first to the house of Israel. What a privilege the Jews had. No wonder they have no excuse whatsoever for not believing in Christ, because he lived among them. He talked to them first. The first Christians were Jews in Jerusalem, the day of Pentecost. In fact, before even the day of Pentecost, beginning with these 12 right here, they were the first Christians and they were all Jews. And later on, God would tell them, fine, after Jerusalem, after the Jews, go to Judea, to Samaria, and to all the parts of the world. Go to all the Gentiles. And also declare the gospel to them. The first message of repentance and the announcement of the arriving of God's kingdom was first meant to the Jews. And it was telling them, the kingdom of God is right here. It's at hand. Repent. When he was rejected, and we're going to see this as we study this book of Matthew, when the Jews were like, no, we don't believe in you. He said, fine, I will go to the Samaritans, the Judeans, to everyone, to all the Gentiles, the Greeks. In Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God, salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and for the Greek. The Jews had the privilege of holding these scriptures, the Bible. They had the privilege of receiving the Messiah. And some believed and some did not. And God is not done with the Jews, of course. They still get saved today. Whether Gentile or Jew, everybody is welcome to come to Christ. And as these guys went out, go to the Jews first, Jesus announced. And then as they were going, as they went, verses 7 to 15, this is what they were supposed to do. And as you go, preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for a journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, whatever city or town you enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it's not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whoever will not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart from the house or city, shake off the dust from your feet. Assuredly, I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than that city. They were supposed to, one, declare the nearness of God's kingdom. Two, freely demonstrate God's supernatural power. And three, they weren't supposed to be worried or overly concerned about their own welfare. They were supposed to trust God to take care of them. The kingdom of God is at hand. When Paul was arrested in Acts chapter 17 and was given the opportunity to give his testimony, and of course he used the opportunity to declare the gospel, he said, therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or man's devising. Truly, these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. The message of repentance has never ended. Because it's through repentance that people come into God's kingdom. And Jesus is telling them, go tell the people to repent because God's kingdom is near, it's at hand, as close as your hands. The opportunity is open. The door is open. Go tell people to come in. They needed a change of heart, a repentance, a forsaking of sinful living and embracing the free righteousness and holiness that was available through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that message has never changed. Very simple. Go tell people to repent and come into God's kingdom. That's really it. They weren't supposed to say anything more. People, repent, change, leave your sins and come to Jesus Christ who will cleanse you, give you righteousness and give you the ability to live a holy, righteous life, and you will go to heaven after this earth. As simple as that. A child can understand it. an older man, oldest man can still understand the message. And that's the simple message of salvation, the cross of Jesus, the love of Jesus, and the free gift of eternal life. Let people know, one Christian says, that the kingdom of the Messiah, who is the Lord from heaven, is available. Let people know the kingdom of the Messiah, the kingdom of heaven, is available and it's free. And men must repent, this writer says, of their sins and forsake them, that they might be admitted to the privileges of the kingdom. If you want to get into any place, you have to be given the privilege and the permission too, right? You may find security, you may find security checkpoints and building security. Wherever you go, you have to be allowed. You go into a country, you have to go through the immigration and all, and entrance is free in God's kingdom, and it's provided for through Christ. Christ alone. No other. And there are men who have tried to create so many false ways of getting into heaven, and they all fail. Only through the cross of Jesus. He's the one who bridged that gap that had been separated for ages by sin. They were going to be Christ ambassadors. They were going to reach a broader area than Christ had up to this point. Remember, it wasn't probably even a year yet. They just walked with Christ a few months. And God is sending them, looks like he's really testing their faith. Go and one, declare the nearness of God's kingdom. And tell you what, for thousands of years, over 2,000 years, the message has gone out. And we are closer than these men. We are very close to the fulfillment, physical. Because right now the kingdom of God is spiritual. It's faith, those who come to Christ. But we are very close to the physical, the real kingdom. When Christ comes and physically reigns on earth, it is really close. And we should tell people about it. It's very close. You look around and track events happening around the world, and there are signs. There are billboards saying, you know what, Jesus is coming really soon, sooner than yesterday. And just like these apostles, in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are told that we are the ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us with others, that they be reconciled to him, Paul writes. We are God's representatives, just like these men. They served their term. Their tenure expired. They went to be with the Lord. And for generations, the message had passed and passed and passed, and we have it today, and we need to pass it on to those who are here. We need to be telling people, you know what? There is a better kingdom. There is the best kingdom. And it's free. Through Jesus Christ, and that's really it. It's up to them to make a choice. So after declaring the nearness of God's kingdom, they are supposed to freely demonstrate God's supernatural power. I say freely because there are those who tell people that they have to pay for their salvation and have to pay for their blessing. Jesus instituted the aspect of free power and free blessing. Free. We never pay for the gifts that God gives us. We never pay for them. The abilities, you may think, okay, well, I paid school fees. I went to school, got a degree. You got that brain for free. God gave it to you. The ability to learn, free. Your physical body, did you pay for it? Free. And he tells them, go raise the dead, go heal the sick, cast out demons. Freely you have received this power, freely give. And why did Christ say that? Because there are people who are going to later on do it for the money. And there are people who today declare the gospel, and of course they're declaring the gospel, but they're doing it for a check, for cash, for some dollars. And it is sad. It breaks God's heart. He gave them the ability for free, the gifts for free. But they're using it for their own personal gain. In fact, in 1 Timothy 6:5, Paul would warn this young man, this young pastor, that there are men out there, they have corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. And Paul told Timothy, from such, withdraw yourself. Keep away from them. If you're here and maybe you've just come for the first time and you come from a church whose pastor is doing it for gain, who's preaching for gain, his own gain, from such, withdraw yourself, the Bible instructs. They'll steal you. They'll be ripping you off. The gospel is for free. And Christ's power, his gifts, his blessing, free. And we all know that the best things in life are free, right? Salvation is free. Heaven is free. They were supposed to demonstrate Christ's power. The design of the gospel was to conquer evil and to cure the world, to heal the world. Now, of course, both physical and spiritual healing, and Christ still does heal. He still does cure. He still does bring the dead to life. It's only the people who are gifted who misuse it. And there are those who even make up miracles to impress people. Remember last week when Christ raised a girl from the dead? He healed blind men who had been blind for 12 years. The woman, 12 years, had an issue with blood. Christ did not bring the woman up on the stage and ask her, interview, so how long have you been sick? 12 years. So how did you feel when you're sick? Blah, 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 blah. So annoying. Jesus is in the business of healing people, and we don't have to bring them on stage and interview them to impress our international ministries. Of course, we give people opportunities to testify of God's power in their life. That's okay. We overcome by our testimony. But these guys who just use Christ's miracles as means for their publicity, it's not right. Anyway, they'll pay for it when they get there. I hope they even get there by. Free. Demonstrate God's power. And we go out, we find sick people, we pray for them. It's not our job to heal them. We pray that God would touch them, that God would heal them. And if it's God's will that he wants them in that state, fine. He will keep them in that state. He knows why. Him alone knows. If he's willing to bring them back, normal health, restore their health, and give them a normal life again, great. It's according to his will. So he's telling them, don't worry, right, about what you will do. Just go, do what you're supposed to do. I'm giving you that power. Go pray. People will come to you. Pray for them. They'll get well. The dead will come to life. You know, the demons will flee. And they were to report back to Christ about their experience. So, Christian, we have God's power in us. And we should know how powerful God is. Unchangeable, we've been seeing. Unstoppable, unshakable. That's the power of Christ we have. The power to bring men to obedience. The power to pray for people and God heals them. That is power. Not just shouting, power, power. No. Supernatural power. Telling demons, leave in Jesus' name, and they leave. That is power. They weren't supposed to do it for pay. But God was going to take care of them. And this is how. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor copper, money belts, no bag for your journey, no extra clothes, no extra shoes, no extra walking sticks. When you go to a city, enter it, inquire who is in it, who is worthy, go there, till you go out. When you go to a household, greet it. If the household is worthy, peace be upon them. If they are not, your peace remain with you. And whoever will not receive you nor hear your words, fine, shake off your dust, leave, move on to the next place. That place is in danger of judgment. The third thing they're supposed to do is to trust God for their provision. And God says he would meet their need through the inspired hospitality of others. That is faith. Remember when God called Abraham, he told him, leave your home and go where I show you. And Abraham was like, where? How? I mean, I have lots of things to take care about. To take care of here. I have a family, I have friends, I have flocks. Where am I going? But he finally left and kept going. And when God calls us himself and then sends us out, we're going to have questions. Lord, I don't have enough transport. I don't have enough clothes. I don't have enough walking sticks. It was a very rugged terrain in Israel, so they really had to have walking sticks as they trekked the Rocky Mountains. God, whatever. Basic, and these are not luxuries. These are basic needs, right? And Jesus is telling them, don't worry about that. I will take care of it. One of the aspects of faith is hanging on the promises of God. You go trusting that, Lord, you promised you would rather give me the food and give me the transport and give me the strength. Fine, I will go. Because when God calls you, this is very true. And if God has called you to do something, all the puzzles are not in place. I can guarantee you. And all the puzzles will never be in place. You'll always have, okay, now I need transport, I need money, I need blah, blah, blah. Anyway, God is like, until you've gone, you'll not experience my provision. If you stay here because you're worried about money and food and what, where you'll sleep, you can stay here and be okay and be stagnant Christian. You're not going to experience my provision until you've gone. Just go. If it gets dark, knock on some door, and if they're willing to accommodate you, fine. If they're not, go knock the next door. They were supposed to depend on inspired hospitality. God was going to speak to people on the other side to take care of them. With food, with clothing, with extra clothes, with extra shoes, water, accommodation, everything else. Now, there is an opportunity at hand, right? And we're praying and planning about planting a Calvary Chapel in Mukono and Busega. Myself and David Busega, I'm going to Mukono. By the end of the year, I won't be here, God willing. Not all puzzles are complete, and it's a work of faith. And if you feel God is calling you to be part of what he's going to do in Mukono and Busega and elsewhere, you can talk to me and talk to David, but I will guarantee you, all the puzzles will not be in place. I will have to say that again. You'll be like, but you don't have any money. Yes, I don't have any money. No salary? Of course, no salary. But we are going to experience God's provision when we are gone. If you're still waiting for the money and waiting for this and waiting for that, we can stay here until Christ returns and we'll have missed the opportunity of experiencing God's power out there. The first call that we have to obey is a call to go. Go, and you'll experience me while you are in the field. God would meet their needs, would take care of them. Tell them, don't overly be concerned about yourselves. I will take care of you. And if they went to a place and they were dismissed, fine. God says, it's okay. You've done your part. If they listen to you, fine. If they don't listen to you, that's okay. And I know it is very saddening when people do not listen to the gospel. If you've gone out preaching, you know that sometimes you come back so discouraged. You're like, I wish I didn't even go. Because all you had were insults, mockery, ridicule, and lots of people just telling, you know what, sorry. We know that. We've had that for the last 10 years. You're liars. Christ is not coming. Just give up and go home and do something else. Our task is to just get the message out. The rest is done by Jesus Christ. He's the one who keeps knocking on their doors. He's the one who keeps reminding them of his love and his mercy. He's the one who tells them about their sinfulness and their need to repent. And maybe you're such a person who heard the gospel for years and years and years. And the day you got saved, not even a preacher told you about Christ that day. You had heard that message years back. And you finally respond 10 years later. And God was going to accomplish that himself. He's the one who knocks on men and women's doors, their hearts. He keeps knocking. Our job, just like theirs, go tell people. They listen to you, fine. They don't, it's okay. About yourself, don't worry. I'll take care of you. Anybody up for an adventure of faith? And of course, you're going to get a report later on when they come back to Christ and they give their testimony of the experience. But tell you what, they were up for real experience in God's power and the experience of seeing men repent. And of course, they're going to have it difficult, as we're going to see next week. It's going to be a difficult task. Persecution was coming. Mockery was coming. But the joy of seeing men change from sin to righteousness brings so much fulfillment that you can't compare to anything. And maybe you have experienced that joy. Seeing somebody repent of their sins, wow. I mean, psychiatrists still say that the most expensive venture on earth is the transformation of the human mind. And billions of money is spent trying to get people think differently. Billions of money. Men study psychiatry for years in school, and they still fail. That is very easy for Jesus Christ. Just a message of salvation, repentance, free gift of heaven. And there is, in just seconds, without any money, without any $1 million, a changed life. Instant. Paul, these men, come follow me. And that was the change they experienced. And if you want to experience God's power out there in the mission field, let's go. Right? Just pack up and leave. Whatever you have. Don't care about everything else you don't have. Just take what you have and let's go. We are the answer to the very prayer we make to God. God, I just want to pray that you may bring up more pastors and raise more leaders. You. More volunteers. You. More prophets. More servants. Starts with us. That reminds me of the story of a young man who was dating. I don't know who told me this story. Maybe one of you, but this young man had a good friend, female friend. And he told her that he had a girl he liked, wanted to marry, and asked her to pray with him about it. So over weeks of praying for this godly, beautiful girl that he wanted to marry with his female friend. And after weeks and months of prayer, the friend finally asked him, who is that girl we've been praying about? And update me, what's happening? And the guy said, it's you. Actually, they got married. Single guys, that's a good trick you can use. But it may backfire. But the point is, Jesus is calling us. Just like he called the 12, maybe we've left everything else to follow Jesus Christ. There is one more step. He's telling us, go. Go out, and we are going in power, and we have a powerful message. We are going to experience the power of Jesus Christ, and we are going to experience the sight of transforming lives. It's incredible. And I'm looking forward to see Christ do really powerful things and reaches out to people in Mikono and other places, and Busega, and where else? I mean, elsewhere that God will send in one verse. And isn't that exciting? Don't worry about what you have or what you don't have. Let's just go. For some, you're already in the mission field. It could be your workplace. That's where your goal ended up. Some of you are still in school. That's where your goal is. That's your destination for now. That's your mission field for now. Colleagues, family, wherever God has placed you. Now, we don't want, and we shouldn't have the thought of, okay, I'm waiting to go somewhere. Some island. Madagascar, wherever, Seychelles. These men, much as Christ was calling them to go out, they were still within their homes. Last week, Christ was actually in Peter's house, rather, his mother-in-law's house. They were still within home. And wherever God has placed us, that's our mission field. You're a teacher, a student, an employee somewhere, an employer, that is your mission field. And maybe God is telling you, okay, now you're done with this mission field. Go to the next. Step out and go. It is going with assurance that Jesus will take care of everything else that we are concerned about. It is faith, being sure and certain that Jesus will do that which has promised. Amen? Are you ready to go? I only had like a few yeses. Are you ready to go? All right, Jesus has heard that. Better pack up. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your message. Simple message of salvation. So easy to understand. And thank you so much for the privilege of being those who bear it, your ambassadors, your representatives here. Lord, thank you so much for the promise of your provision. Lord, it's so encouraging to know that you will take care of us. You will. You're true to your word. And Lord, we are also thankful for the privilege. It's a gift. It's a grace. It's favor. You could have used angels and seraphims and supernatural beings. You've chosen to use earthen vessels like us, weak, frail, foolish men and women. Lord, you've given us your wisdom and your power, the power of yours to save. Lord, I pray that we may, Lord, daily wake up to a realization that we have a mission and we've been commissioned, but that we have a message that we may tell people about you, that we may tell people to repent and receive your free gift of eternal life. And Lord, that we may endure the difficulties that we may go through, or that we may resist the insults and the mockery, the ridicule, the whatever force that will be against us, Lord, that we may resist that and cast them out and press on. Because you are more powerful than any other force or any other thing that tries to stand against us. Lord, help us warn men and women of your coming judgment. You're coming as a conquering king, as a judge, not as a lamb anymore. But you already came as a lamb and you died. You bled to death. You're coming as a judge. Lord, I pray that you may soften the hearts of the people we will be talking to tomorrow, the next day, even this evening. Lord, soften their hearts to receive you. Lord, open their eyes that they may see. Remove that blindness that they have. And thank you so much again for the privilege and the joy of experiencing your power and seeing you transform men from darkness to light, from death to life, but from sin to righteousness. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name.